For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty? Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic. Welcome to Punch Drunk Sports, where winners win. We have an empty, full studio here. We have a lot of people, not a lot of people at the same time. With great happiness and enthusiasm, I have to announce that Jason Tebow is not here today. Keep listening, please. We are proud to announce that Jason has booked a pilot.
All right.
Yay. Our good friend Jason Tebow has booked a pilot, and he is not here because he's shooting TV magic, and which is, we're proud to announce, Jason Tebow is officially off the suicide list. Yes, he is no longer thinking about killing himself. We were talking yesterday, and he was like, you know what? Everything's coming up, Tebes. So it's great to hear. Before I introduce our guest, let me lay into my co-host, who is late.
I'm right on time.
Candace, it is a certain time. Oh, everybody's late here. Walk in with your way too long jacket on. There we go. Thank you for coming in. Is that a dress jacket?
My fiance got me one.
Okay.
It's like the fashion.
Okay. I like it, and I'm a girl, so. Well,
there we go.
Okay, Candace is here. Thank you. Joining me in studio for this show, and I'm going to get into it. It's going to be a short episode today. We'll get into it. Joining me from one of the top internet movie critics show, I guess, movie lover show, movie weirdness show, one of my very good friends. I call him the babyface assassin. I just started calling him literally right now. he's one of the funniest guys at the Comedy Store and a good friend of mine. Mark Ellis, everybody.
Great to be here, Sam. Thank you very much.
So the Schmoes are a movie...
Weirdness is a pretty good way to describe it. Yeah.
Movie weirdness.
We're kind of critics, reviewers. Like, we started out calling ourselves reviewers because we don't want to be known as critics. And yeah. We still don't want to be known as a movie critic. But technically, like, I'm certified on Rotten Tomatoes and accredited with the MPAA and all that stuff.
What's more important, your certification on Rotten Tomatoes or your certification on Twitter?
I don't really care about either one, to be honest. I guess Tomatoes is a bigger honor. Because I don't really, like, the blue check on Twitter doesn't mean a whole lot to me.
It's like
stars. Does it not mean things ever? I thought I was, like, an outlier for not caring. I thought I was being cool, like the cool kid in the back of school.
People
like
Tripoli,
really care.
How are you not verified? I'm lazy and I don't care to get it.
Are you not verified?
No, I could care less.
We could talk about it if
I
you
don't want.
Want
to. I don't care. And that's... also join me in studio. I've traveled the world with this guy. He's a wonderful dude. Yeah. He runs one of my favorite horrible gigs in Hollywood. It's one of the best gigs that make you want to quit comedy, but I keep going there because there's hot Puerto Ricans just hanging out. He does MMA Roasted, my good friend, Adam Hunter.
Thank you. You always kill there, though, man.
Yeah.
Even when you're bombing, even when you think you're bombing, it's still, like, funnier than most.
Yeah, I take pride in my bombs are the most entertaining.
Tripoli's one of my favorite comics to watch. You don't bomb, though. I echo Adam's sentiments. Is that the fact that you think you're bombing is what entertains us when we're watching, because you're not, but you think you are. So we get to enjoy it on two levels because we get to see you say funny stuff, but we also know that you're torturing yourself.
Thank you.
And that's the more entertaining value for
us. As young comedians, I'm going to tell you this. There will come a time where you get a lot of standing O's like I used to, and when you don't get those standing O's,
that's
you start
crazy,
questioning.
Though. No one ever does standing O's.
A couple weeks ago, we were doing the main room back to back at the store, and I brought you up because I hadn't brought you up in a minute, and I was like thinking, I think I said punch drunk, but I was also like, and he's the only comic to ever get a standing O on Comedy Central's Premium Blend.
And you're like, Premium Blend was back when it was black and white, and it was like stand up specials that were silent films.
Yeah.
Where you had to read the jokes.
He booked it on his rotary phone.
Yeah. One of the funniest standing O things is like, I opened for Eddie Ift at Moondoggies one time, and Moondoggies was one of those gigs where like the feature was the best spot because by the time the headline went on, the crowd just didn't want to hear comedy anymore. And Eddie was having a rough time, and he goes, and people were hating him. And there was a point where he was saying even more and more fucked up shit to get him to hate him more. And he goes, I'm not leaving till I get a standing ovation. And the crowd all stood up. I go, that's the most brilliant way to bomb. Because you could say, I got a standing ovation.
It's funny how like comics will even complain about getting standing ovations depending on what, you know, iteration it is. I got one in Tempe at the Improv, but it was as I was going on stage. Like, I have a pretty good fan base with the Schmo Show, but it's not like they're packing every
hall.
But there's a lot of them. And they're
everywhere.
You play
the hall a lot.
So when I go on stage, just me getting announced, like 10 people stand up and clap. And it actually, I think, affected
the
other
standing O's walking
going
out.
On. But 400 other people in the Improv have no idea. They have no idea who I am. So they see these people stand up, and they instantly think that they're like family members or something.
Yeah.
So now it feels like a bringer show. Like I brought my family reunion to come see me.
When you walk out, you get standing O's?
I have a nickname on our movie trivia show called the Movie Trivia Schmodown. My nickname is Baby Carrots. I like eating baby carrots. It's a, you know, fun, like, silent baby face assassin kind of nickname. So now when I go on the road, people will bring me carrots.
Oh, so like when
they bring
Mitch
me a bag
Hedberg,
of carrots or like a carrot stuffed animal.
When Mitch Hedberg did stand up, they threw Quaaludes and drugs at him. When you do stand up, you get baby carrots.
it's a healthier version.
No, it's funny though. Like, I've had that happen a couple times when like they stand up. But when you're announced, but I feel like I'm only going to let them down.
Yeah, now it's in my head if they're going to stand up at the end of the show.
Yeah, I feel like I'm only going to disappoint them. And if they don't stand up, I'm going to...
It's so weird now. Just comedy's so weird.
I watched the Chappelle last night. You watched the one?
No, I hear it's great.
Hilarious.
He's got two at the same time?
The first one I watched. I got the first one. I'm like, man, this is like the best comedy I've seen in a long time.
It's great.
Well, he hasn't put out a lot of specials. So this is like literally when they call it a special, it's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm about to shoot my hour and I'm going to open with like, thanks for coming to my hour. At the end, we'll decide whether it's a special or not, you know, because so much of it isn't special. They're just hours. Dave Chappelle is another level of comedian. He's a comics comic in the best way. There's comics who like bomb on stage and all the comics get what they're doing and they love the risks they're taking and the crash and burn that they're doing. But Dave Chappelle is like a comics comic who also everybody else loves. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a rare thing.
Well, it's a lot of times you watch comedy and as a comic, you can see what they're doing. You see what the way it's going. You see why they're getting the laughs or why you're like, oh, this is kind of cheap or this is great or whatever. But with Chappelle's thing last night, it actually, I actually forgot I was a comic. Like, I was actually watching it as a fan, which is very rare that you could actually just...
How many of Amy Schumer's jokes did he do?
Dude, that, whoa.
Well, here's the thing about that. Just let me say this.
What? Wait, I need to be informed. I didn't...
Well, there's this whole thing that she jacked one of his jokes, and my whole thing is, like, that premise itself has been done by a lot of people.
The blackout one?
No,
oh, the David Tell or
where do you want me to come thing? I mean, we've all talked about it.
I've heard a lot of where do you want me to come jokes
in your life. I literally, who's the girl from 24? What's her name? The actress who does stand up on Marilyn Rice Cup. So I was doing a bit after the Orlando shooting about how the guy was yelling ISIS, ISIS. And everyone's like, he's yelling ISIS, he's in it. And I'm like, I yell Wu-Tang Clan all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not in the Wu-Tang Clan. Well, one time I'm leaving the Comedy Store and a Marilyn Rice Cup runs up. She's like, AAA. I'm like, well, she's like, Chappelle just did your joke word for word. And I'm like, fuck, man. So now I'm like, well, I lost that joke. And then I watched him on Saturday Night Live, and he did it. And it literally was verbatim beat for beat. And I never saw him do it, and he never saw me do it. And I'm not saying that Amy Schumer hasn't had some situations, but it's like we're really getting into a weird place where there's so many comedians doing comedy right now. And it's like we have this weird thing where it's like you have to be so relatable, yet have this incredibly original take that nobody else has ever heard. When there's like, how many comics do you think, honestly, are, I mean, we're just talking open micers to like the top of the top, Bill Burr or and Joe Rogan and these guys who we all see as the top. How many comics do you think there are?
There's a lot of them in the pool.
30,000?
More.
In the country, 50,000?
I don't have those kind of numbers.
I mean, my dime bar has 20,000 a night.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like you have to have this original thought that 50,000 other people can't go and won't come up with.
And the worst one, like I did a joke where like I go, I wish to have Botox on my balls, right? Which Chappelle has that joke. I didn't know that. I never, but then I put the thing on my YouTube. You stole Chappelle's joke. I'm like,
yeah.
But what, the four words that go in, like, there are a lot of times somebody tagged me going, someone just added Adam Hunter's joke about comparing Trump to Hitler. I go, because Hitler had a plan. That was the stupid. But, like, that's a very, it's not the hardest joke to come up with. And I'm like, I go to the guy, take that down. She didn't take my joke. You stop fucking accusing people of, it's like, people are getting into fights for me, telling them not to do it.
It was a lot easier to have like a cut and dry case in the 80s and 90s before the advent of like social media and everybody posting sets and all these specials out. Because if you worked with somebody on the road and then you saw them 2 weeks later on the Tonight Show and they're doing your joke, it's like you stole my joke.
Right.
But now you're right. I mean, there's similar premises. You got to be so damn sure, because it still is the worst accusation you can levy against a comic is that they stole your material.
Let's be honest, she's been accused a lot, and there are instances where you're like,
she's also one of the most famous comics, so
right,
people are naturally going to gravitate. And if she said anything that sounds like a bit, I mean, it's got to be word for word, and even then, it's not a cut and dry case anymore.
100%. I defend comedians for the most part. I have a major problem with her marketing scheme, how she markets herself, which I think has led to this kind of hate.
Is it because she's verified on Twitter, Sam? No.
Yes. I think it's just like she used to I have this weird theory, right, that when Chelsea Handler had her show on E!, that's when the Kardashians blew up. And a lot of these comics were on that channel, and they watched how the Kardashians market themselves and how it's just like in your face constantly. Listen, in your face constantly.
Yeah.
But when you're marketing nothing, just fame, positive or negative shit – doesn't matter. Any kind of plug, whether it's positive or negative, doesn't fucking matter as long as they're talking about you. But when you have actual art that you're putting out and you're going, look at me, look at me, look at me, people are going to look at that and they're going to fucking look at it probably in a negative light.
I also think that the whole Trump thing, when she brought up the Trump supporter on stage and humiliated him, that really like touched a nerve with a lot of people. And like I even on like the road, like, yeah, Amy Schumer, that was fucked up. She brought that guy on stage. And I think that was a mistake. You know, when you start bringing up audience members and berating them for their political views, whether they're yours or not, it's a fine line.
Especially when you're the stinky pussy chick. Like, you know, pick your fucking lane, man. Like, honestly, you can't be like, I'm the broad. It's like, and I tell people, it's like when you choose, how you make it is how you're going to be seen. It's very hard to shoot.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be beholden to doing a stinky pussy joke in your first special, and then that's you for the rest of your life.
It's
like,
not
dude,
the
especially
first
this election
made
everybody. I was never a political comic before this election, and you see the shit that Trump spews, and you're like, I really feel like talking about this. Like,
no,
yeah,
that's
I would rather do Nintendo and cum jokes, but I really hate
this guy.
Which
are classics.
But I need to talk about this now. And so, like, it's kind of fun going on stage. And I think maybe Amy or any other comic, you sort of get used to a different high. And it's fun to have that. Like, when you go on, especially when you're doing the road somewhere, and you don't know how that crowd is going to react to anti-Trump jokes.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. It's like a new juice that you didn't have before.
You're 100% right. But bringing people on stage and berating, it's like certain celebrities.
Oh, that's a whole different
certain
level.
Celebrities have that chip on their shoulder, which drives them.
Right.
But also can sometimes, it's like when Katy Perry went back to Santa Barbara and was like, that's the guy that wouldn't fuck me, dump me in high school, and pointed out like her high school boyfriend during
the
concert.
Yeah, I would have been like, yeah, now I'll drop a fucking load on those fucking fat yams, you Saint worshiper. Listen. Listen, dude.
Do you think it's like a Michael Jordan complex that a lot of people get to the top of their respective
of course,
industry have?
Dude, it's
where,
all...
like, Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech was, I loved it, but it's also great evidence as to why that guy got to where he was and why he probably tortures himself late at night watching Westerns, you know, talking to his ghost dad now.
Yeah.
Is because he just doesn't have a lot in
ghost
his life
killer?
That he used to have. I mean, that's what he does.
Here's my whole thing, Mark. There's a difference between, like, being like, you know, when you're Schumer and your game plan is like to be this huge person, you're doing a certain style, okay? And it's very poppy. It's pop comedy. It's like, and you make it off being a pop comedy. It's all drinking and jogging. I'm a fat girl and I'm all this shit. And then all of a sudden you're like, fuck Trump. I'm dropping. It's like a shift in gears. It's like me, you, a lot of people. I hate to say it, but our careers, your career is much farther than mine, but, you know, it's like we have a certain career because we have a certain, we take certain risks on stage and we allow our opinions out there. It's like my theory about comics break down into two things, clowns and shit talkers. Shit talkers sometimes don't work as much, but when they hit, they become legends. Clowns, and I find Amy Schumer to be a clown, and it's not a negative thing. It's all about the laugh for her. So she goes to a certain level, being a clown, trying to be relatable to every girl on stage. It's like, I'm a slut, I'm fat, I'm a slut, I got a stinky pussy. And then you get somewhere, and then all of a sudden you want to have some teeth and some grit. It just, like, the reality is how you make it is how they see you.
Yeah, but I think that, because I get this a lot on Twitter, where I will have people, like, I'll say something about Trump, right? And I'll have fans of schmoes write me, and they're like, we don't follow you for politics, bro. And it's like, you don't have the right to tell me what I'm able to tweet and not to tweet. And I understand when you take it to the level what Adam's talking about, where now you're bringing somebody on stage, and if you're doing that for attention, then I don't think, like, comics, what do we always fall back on is that we just care about honesty. If it comes from an honest place, if you really feel that way about your stinky pussy, or you really feel that way about Trump and how awful of a human being he is, you should be able to say it on stage. Once it gets to the point where you're just saying things, you're just doing bits or material to get famous,
I agree that you should be able to say whatever you want.
Yeah. And
but
personally, with Amy,
expect,
it looks like it's passionate.
But you
to me.
Can't expect. You. It's like
there's
it's
always
like
gonna
being
be...
in the Monkees and then wanting to put out a fucking, you know, a gangster rap fucking album. Yeah, you should be able to put a gangster rap album out, but don't be surprised when there's a backlash to it when you had them buy into this certain image.
I feel like I feel like it's also a bubble, though. Like Amy Schumer, when she goes up at a comedy club, Amy Schumer's here, and she's getting stupid laughs because of who she is. And she's just surrounding herself with like-minded people. But you're in that bubble. But all of a sudden, you put something on Netflix, and those people that weren't at the comedy show, don't care that you're in front of them, and also don't have your opinion, are not giving you one star. Because they don't like you, you're not in that bubble anymore.
Yeah, the hard thing about being a comic, especially when you come on the scene as fast and as high as she did, is that she initially was shocking people because she was this person you didn't expect to have these kind of jokes, you know? She could go dirtier and she could cuss like a sailor and it's like, oh, well, this package is giving us that. That's an odd thing. Once that shock value wears off, I think sometimes as a comic, you're like, where do I go from here? Because I'm still doing the same kind of material, but it's not getting the same kind of pop that it used to because now the audience is trained to expect me to say these things.
Right.
So that second special gets so much harder than the first one because the first one you come out and you punch everybody in the mouth and it's like they didn't know what hit them. Now it's like a football team. It's like RG3's rookie season. No defense knew how to play against that guy because they hadn't seen an offense run quite like that before with the run option. His second year, now they had a whole offseason to game plan. So audiences can game plan for you. Now they're still rooting for you, but they expect you to go on stage and talk about how crazy last night was
with
whatever guy.
That's
so
what
I think
saying.
Part of a comic's mentality is, what can I say now that I didn't say before that's going to surprise people.
Yes.
So I think the element of surprise factors in when comics are thinking about what else they want to talk about.
You know, it's like Janet Jackson in a halftime show whipping her tits out. It's like you can't be a pop culture fucking person then try to be some underground badass. It's just my theory.
Well,
we make decisions on stage artistically that go, okay, I'm not going to be for everybody, but this is my truth. Then you see people make the opposite decision. They make business decisions, and, you know, somebody got – and I saw it happen with a couple comics coming up where you see they're very dark, and then one day it just flips, and they're just doing, girls are like this. Why are girls like this? Why do guys do this? And somebody got in there and go, this is the business. This is where the money is. Do this, and you make this decision, and you sell to your soul to the fucking industry. And then you get to this certain level. You're like, well, I want to go back to that. It doesn't work like that. How you make it is how you're seen. And when you go the opposite way, there's going to be a backlash. And that's my whole opinion. Before we get into anything else, dates out the gates. Where are you going to be, Adam?
I'm in San Diego at the Comedy Palace this Friday and Saturday night.
Okay.
And then in April, I'm at the Carolina Comedy Club in South Carolina. The first week, second week of April, I'm in Stanford and Sons. And then the last week, I'm at the Looney Bin in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
You're a fucking hustler. Where are you going to be, Mark?
Dude, I love that this is a segment. It's like before the end of the show. Because like most of the shows I do at the end, like as it's slowly fading to black, it's like, no, wait, I'm going to be here. I am going to be at the Columbus Funny Bone this weekend. Next weekend, I got the... Helium in Buffalo on Thursday and Friday only, and then I'm going to be at the Orlando Improv during Star Wars Celebration, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Mark, I got to be honest with you, man. You are one of the people I don't think gets enough credit for how hard you've worked.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
And where you are. I don't think anyone talks about, like you remind me a lot of me in the fact that you can't – I don't think you knew anybody when you came here. You built fucking this whole kind of brand – And, you know, and Adam, you're the same way. If you can get off your phone for a couple seconds, don't mind it.
He's verified
call him
on
out,
Twitter,
because he'll be on his phone so many times. So now you have permission to call him out.
That
the
you
rest
came
of the
here,
show.
And now you're not only just headlining, but you're headlining A-list clubs. You got a fucking full on like Schmoes brand, and it's fucking going really great. And I'm fucking super happy.
It's always weird to be like, well, yeah, I didn't know anybody when I moved here, so I was pretty much like we all just kind of started
from
scratch.
All did here,
but
yeah.
There's like always guys that reach down and lend a hand, and you guys have been that person for me, like either like booking me on rooms or stuff like that. Like guys, like even like people who are younger than me, like Eliza Schlesinger has been huge. My John Caparulo has been one of my favorite people to hang
out
with.
He hates me right now.
Why?
Who doesn't he hate?
Oh yeah, that's true. We'll get. To
I think
that
that's a, I think that's a total misnomer about that guy.
No. Literally, put out a fucking podcast saying he hates everybody.
It's a,
literally.
It's a
I want to hear why he hates
you.
Can we get into it? Can I do my dates out of the gates on my own podcast? Can I do that? Yeah. Can I do that? Guys, next week I am going to the Skyline Comedy Club in Appleton, Wisconsin. I'm doing them March 30th through April 1st, and then the following week. I am at, thank you to Adam Hunter, I'm at the Comedy Cave in Calgary. I am doing the April 4th through the 9th, so be there. All the information's on samtribbley.com. But this Thursday, I'm proud to announce I'm going to be at the Wu-Tang.
I'm going there, too.
And fuck at the Palladium. How'd I get my tickets?
Wow.
I got my tickets through SeatGeek. That's right. Go to SeatGeek. Go to the App Store on your iPhone. Download the SeatGeek app and use the promo code PUNCHDRUNK. And you can get everything. You get concert films. You can get concerts. You can get live sporting events. So far, I've gone to 3 events since we've been working with SeatGeek. I got Wu-Tang. Here's what you do. You go on the app. Use the promo code PUNCHDRUNK. And it will. Let's say you want to go see the Wu-Tang. I saw an ad on Facebook. And I'm like, holy shit. The Wu-Tang's there. Are there any tickets left? I went to SeatGeek. Listed every ticket from cheapest ones all the way to the most expensive. Now, if you know the Palladium, you know it's general admission, so you want to grab that cheapest ticket because everyone's just going to be standing there. So I'm going to go see. This is my second concert this year. This is my third concert with SeatGeek. It's really fucking easy, and I'm super stoked. I buy one ticket a month off using the SeatGeek app, and it's really easy. Now, it's great. You download it. Once it charges your account, it sends you the tickets. You can either keep it right on your phone, use it to get in, or you can email it and have them print it out for you. So it's like really fun, real simple, and I just love it. I'm so excited to see the Wu-Tang Clan.
Have you seen it before?
I've never seen Wu-Tang.
Is this like seeing Skinner on stage now for me, where it's like it's the band, but it's like one original member a bunch of
that's
uncles?
That's what I'm picturing,
No, it's everybody except for obviously old
ODB.
ODB
isn't there, yeah.
Yeah, they got back together, and it's going to kick ass, and I'm going, thank you to Seek. I'm super stoked, man. I love it. Now, let's get into Adam, are you at all basketball guy at all, or are you just mostly MMA wrestling?
Mostly MMA wrestling,
and,
boxing.
Gay porn, what?
Yeah, just gay porn. Yeah. Just lots of gay porn.
So you're not into this March Madness at all?
I'm not. I don't even know. I just know that the guy from UCLA, everyone likes him. He's supposed to be amazing, the freshman.
Lonzo Ball and his crazy-ass dad.
LeVar Ball is like, but when you look at him, it's like, no, that's the dad that when I was a kid, I wanted to have had because he's going to make me a professional athlete. But I remember my dad when I was a kid, I was a fat kid, and I love my dad. He's my favorite. He was my best friend. But he was telling me the story about this guy, Todd Marinovich, who's this quarterback. He's like, did you hear about this guy? And I was like, no, because I was like 10. And my dad's like, yeah, this guy, his dad, like, he wouldn't let him, like, drink Pepsi or, like, go to McDonald's. Like, he trained him to be a quarterback. And I remember thinking, well, why the fuck did my dad train me to be a quarterback? Yeah. I want to play in the NFL.
I was eating Burger King daily because my family just didn't know anything bad about it. And it was so funny. We had a family from Rochester come see us, and they never ate fast food. So one day they're like, okay. We're going to let you guys have fast food. So we're eating fast food, and they're taking pictures of them eating fast food. We're like, what the fuck are we
doing? It's like the Flanders kids when they had a pixie stick, and they just went crazy.
By the way, Todd Murders has been in rehab like 7 times.
Yeah.
His father pushed him way too hard.
Yeah. So. I think that's the fear that people have, but it's like, I think it's good that Lonzo Ball grew up with brothers, because he's got two brothers that are also like hoop superstars in high school, so they're going to go to UCLA, too.
Well, the youngest brother scored 92 points in a high school game.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Do they play Yeshiva? Who do they play?
No. Don't make fun of Jewish Jordan, Jewish Jordan.
That kid was good, actually.
No, yeah, for playing Jews, yeah, he was good. When he played anyone with any pigmentation, he got housed.
He was on the Israeli national team.
He went to Maryland, and he lasted like a week, and then they sent him to some weird kind of
to Israel. But yeah, no, that kid, what's the whole story? The father was a pro player too?
No,
he was a pro football player for like 2 seconds. And
no, was he?
Yeah.
He played college basketball.
Yeah, but he played in the NBA. He was on a pro team for like half a training camp or something like that.
Well, he went to Washington State and averaged 2 points a game.
Yeah.
And then he's been talking so much shit about
it. So he was better than Jordan he would have been better than Jordan.
Yeah, he could have beat Jordan. He's like, he couldn't handle my fat butt. And then he said, yeah, he would have beat Jordan, and then he's challenged Charles Barkley to a game.
Yeah.
And Barkley wants to play him.
That's awesome.
Barkley would wreck him, because Barkley, it's still like I don't care how out of shape you are, Barkley is still – Barkley never made his career on athleticism to begin with. He made it all on grit and toughness and just wanting to get a rebound more than somebody else. So
remember he couldn't dunk a ball with two hands? He couldn't do the dunk contest because his hands are too small. Isn't that crazy?
I just like that he got arrested for getting a blowjob from a hooker, and he's like, she gives great head.
Yeah.
Like, that was his.
There is something. Oh, he did play. He made the practice squad. How come nobody ever talks about that?
I mean, I think I just did, and I got shut down pretty quickly. So
I respect
maybe
that.
Maybe that's why people.
Mark Ellis. Point Mark Ellis. Oh, my God, he did. Oh, he played in the World Football League. That's so funny.
Yeah, LiAngelo and LeMayo and Lonzo. Like, I think it's the same thing with Williams sisters. If it was just Venus or Serena, I think that kid would have gone crazy because of how hard Richard Williams perceivably pushed him. But because they could bond with each other, and they're like, man, can you believe Dad's making us practice this? It gives you somebody to be in the foxhole with. So I think all these kids are going to come out okay.
He basically named his kids like the Ninja Turtles, didn't he? That's basically what he did. Lonzo.
LiAngelo, LaMelo.
Yeah. Now, the word is the oldest one is phenomenal. Like, I love basketball.
He's going to be a first pick in the NBA draft.
He should be. Yeah. They're talking about the kid from Washington being the number one. But if I'm an NBA player, I'm like, you look at UCLA and how bad they were last year, and they were calling for Steve Alford's job. Then this kid came back. Now they were like the third team in the The number three team in the NCAA in men's basketball.
Yeah, they're a three seed right now, and
which is ridiculous.
They're in the Sweet 16, and they look pretty. They look pretty strong. I mean, they're
going to house Kentucky.
But, I think they will, though. I think they will.
That's a good team. I have them. I'm getting killed in my brackets right now.
I love this stuff. But I love college basketball, by the way. I have so many problems.
What is your favorite sport?
My favorite sport to watch is still the NFL, even with all the problems. Like, as you get to become an adult, you're like, God, the NFL, the corporate structure sucks. Roger Goodell's an asshole. And then the NCAA, it's like they treat students like crap, and they're so hypocritical the way they approach business strategy. But I still love the sports. Like, I love watching the sports.
You know what I really have a problem with is when you see college athletes in commercials. Mm-hmm. Like, now they're having them do commercials.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that should very much come with a paycheck.
Yeah.
Like, to have them do commercials and not pay them, like, dude, it's ridiculous. And it's so funny because you listen to the NCAA, they're like, we can't have a football playoff because, you know, school and the testing. It's like, but yeah, your Division II and Division III schools have fucking football. I know they now have playoffs, but that was forever.
Yeah, I'm so sick of, like, oh, you get a free education, which is like it's manna from heaven. It's a communications degree. Yeah.
What they should allow?
Nothing.
They should allow kids to do is to opt out of the scholarship. The school still gets credit with a scholarship, meaning they can't just get another guy and allow that guy to make money. Fuck it, man.
Yeah, you would have agents lined up. I mean, here's the thing. You don't want agents. You don't want guys in suits on campus unless they're teachers. You know, you don't want that element
get a
infiltrating. So there
get
needs to be some sort of protection. There needs to be a conduit between all of the brands and the agencies and the kids. Like, you can't have the kids even interacting directly with agents when they're on campus, because some of them are really well adjusted and prepared to handle that stuff. Some of them are going to get taken for a ride. So you need somebody in every institution that's going to be handling that kind of stuff. But again, I go back to it. Like, I have these problems when I'm not watching a game. When I'm watching a game, I'm still able to just lock in and just be like the sports fan that I am.
Yes,
you know?
I completely agree. I love the March and October are my two favorite sports months because there's so much sports.
There's basketball or baseball in October?
Yeah.
And then you have all
the
other
the
stuff?
Playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's no, I'm aware, but I just like.
You just asked if it was like.
No, but I'm asking you because, like, you never struck me as a baseball guy.
Oh, dude, I love the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I love the Dodgers.
I love playoff baseball.
Aaron, we just talked baseball.
Baseball talk. Yeah.
Baseball talk.
I went. You remember Mark Ellis was a player for the Dodgers?
Oh yeah,
a couple years ago.
He was a huge Tripoli fan. By the way,
Mark Ellis?
Yeah, I was walking by. He was talking to Brody at the Comedy Store, and I'm like, "Oh, Brody's talking to the Dodgers." It was him and Justin. The redheaded guy for the Dodgers, Justin, whatever his name is.
He Turner. Used to bring Ether used to come up there, too. Like,
oh,
like,
look at
he'd
him.
Have a lot of
look
Dodgers
at him, guys. Yeah. He was a Cardinal as well.
He was a Cardinal. He was on the Oakland A's team that Billy Bean put together.
Yeah.
In,
so
Moneyball.
So I walk by. I'm like, oh, my God, Brody's talking to the because I performed in front of all them before.
Yeah.
And I had
isn't
great,
that cool performing in front of, like.
So I walk by them,
the
dude, and fucking Ellis goes, hey. That's Sam Tripoli. And I'm like,
no way.
I had to act like I wasn't fucking going nuts. So I came back. I'm like, I walked there and I act like I did something. I walked back. I'm like, hey, Brody.
My favorite.
Mark goes, hey, Tripoli. I'm like, oh, hey, what's your name again?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'll sign your ball.
Dude, there are so many funny Tripoli stories about, like, what, about how you had to apologize to Paris Hilton for calling her a cum dumpster.
Yeah.
Like, you had to, like.
What?
You had to, like.
I did a show at the
Does
Hard Rock.
Does Hallmark make a card for that? Sorry I called you a cum dumpster. You opened up as, like, a cute cat. Or, you know.
She was in the audience?
No, her sister was.
Oh, okay.
Her sister was there and I was doing
and
a joke.
Her sister tattletaled?
No, because there was a time where, like, the casinos in Vegas were going crazy over having celebrities in their thing. And I did one joke about bombing following Paris Hilton one time. I had to follow her at a gig.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And, I mean, like, dude, she walked on stage and it was like Nelson Mandela had just been released from prison. And people were just going fucking nuts. And she just literally goes up going, how great is Beecher's?
Oh, God.
I love Jeff Beecher. He's great. You guys got party? And then she walked off, and then I just walked in, and it was just, it was death. But I remember Bill Burr just bombed like 3 weeks earlier there. Like, yeah. It was this classic mm-hmm. Bill Burr bomb. And like, he wasn't the Bill Burr he is now. He's the Bill Burr then. And I remember hearing the thing, and they go, if you can get the chicks behind you, the room will be behind you. Mm-hmm. So I just started cheerleading for women, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because people started going, boo, boo, boo. So I go, give it up for the ladies. They're sexy. Ladies, who's going to have fun? Blah, blah, blah. And I turn it, and I get a standing O walking off. And I walk off stage with this look of, oh, I just escaped death, right?
Right.
And dude, all the staff around to me, they're like, we've never seen that before. When they start booing, it's usually over.
You're like Sully landing the plane on the Hudson. Yeah. Like, nobody's ever going to do that again.
Yeah, 100%, dude. I was like, oh, my God. And all the E people there, Gary Belafonte was there. He's like, I've never seen that. And later on, I'd gone on the Stern. Have you guys ever done Stern?
No,
making
no.
Howard Stern laugh is probably one of the coolest things in my fucking life. By far. Making him laugh was – when he laughed, I'm like, oh, my God, I just made Stern laugh. And then you meet him after. You can tell he's a germaphobe.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, hey, you guys are great. I go, oh, thank you. He goes, huh. I'm like, okay, we're good. We're good.
You guys
so you have to apologize to Paris Hilton. That's the whole
– I know. I was like, did I hear that happened?
No, so I did the joke about following her and eating it. And afterwards, Jeff Beecher's like, the Hard Rock is very pissed at you. I'm like, why? They're like, you made jokes about Paris Hilton in front of her sister. Go apologize. And I'm like, okay. So they bring me down the VIP room, and they marched me right up to, Nikki Hilton. It's like,
right.
Hey, Nikki. Like, I know who she is.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry I did a joke about your sister. I have no problems with her. She just looked at me. She goes, and just turned around. And I was like, she gave me this big, like, I don't give a fuck, and moved on.
Did he get to stay in the VIP room?
Yeah, oh, dude.
They escorted him out.
One of the craziest nights of my life was I did the gig, and it turned into one of my classic jokes at the time, a triple E classic. I did the gig, and I crushed.
The year was 1983, and Sam Tripoli was riding high after a gig at Mattered Beach House.
It was standing ovation on Premium Blend.
What do you think Beecher's was at the Hard Rock? It was like 2005, maybe?
Yeah.
It was like 2005. I just killed. I got off stage, and like I was just in the club just bomb. And, like, I couldn't hit with anybody. Nothing. And literally spending 2 hours just trying to find somebody who might recognize me from the show. I'm about to do the walk of death back to my room when this girl stops me. She's like, oh, my God, are you the guy from the show? I go, yeah. She goes, oh, my God, I'm so drunk. You were so funny. I can't find my friends. Boom!
Oh, wow.
Boom!
I remember that.
Boom! It's like, dude, it was the greatest time of my life. This literal, like, last second Hail Mary pass.
That's a Frank Reich maneuver right there. I mean, you need 5 touchdowns in the second half.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
One of my favorite Tripoli stories ever, though, was Dana Point, right? I get him this gig in Dana Point.
Oh, God.
And then I call him the next day. Hennessy's in Dana Point.
I go,
Sam, how did the gig go, right? I go, he goes, dude, I was on stage, right? And no, this fucking girl wouldn't stop talking. She kept going to the bathroom taking Coke breaks. So I say, listen, if you get up one more time, I'm going to eat your asshole, right? So the girl gets up, right? He goes, all right, now we got to do it. So the whole crowd starts yelling, eat her ass, eat her ass, eat her ass. So I'm like, fuck it. So I lie down on the stage. The girl's not wearing underwear, pulls at her pants.
What?
I start eating her asshole on the stage. I go, then what happened, Sam? He goes, then her girlfriend, she was a lesbian, attacks me from the stage, right? So she runs up, starts hitting me. I go, then some other guy that was trying to fuck him starts punching me. I go, then what happened? He goes, the guy didn't hit me hard. I go, you punched like a fucking girl, right?
Everyone literally had kept the microphone and was doing play-by-play as this guy was punching me. It was like if Joe Rogan was in a UFC fight and doing play-by-play at the same time.
Dude, he goes, then, right? I go, well, dude, was this your closer? Like he goes, how, what do you follow that with? He goes, dude, I was there the next week, right? They said they had a staff meeting. That, like, saying that you weren't allowed to have comics eat the audience members' assholes.
Yeah, that's
it sucks they had to have a meeting for that. 'Cause, you know.
Who makes that PowerPoint? Like, Somebody's got to, like, make an image of, like, a guy, like a person sitting on another person, being like, okay, now you see here, this is what we don't want on stage.
But, like,
maybe they had photos.
I fucked up because everybody started to film it, and I go, no! Don't film it. If people would have filmed that, it would have blown up, dude. And I would be selling out arenas right now.
I can't believe you ate a random girl's ass on the stage.
Dude, honestly.
He does that all the time. She doesn't care.
She was one of the most beautiful. And I live in L.A. She was one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. And it didn't go quite the way you say it, but I'll let it go.
Dude, if.
She threatened me.
Oh, how'd it go?
Because. Dude, this was Angelo Bowers, God rest his soul, his first road gig. This is the first time he was on the road. And she was heckling him. He didn't know how to handle it. I'm like, I'm going to murder this bitch. She keeps talking. So I went up. I started hitting her. She came up. She started doing like the. I'm like, don't let your ass write a check you can't cash. So she's like, I'm going to eat your. I'm going to sit on your face. I'm like, fuck, man. I laid down. And like, she did. She sat in my face.
I wish there was video evidence of this, but if there was, you're right. You'd be huge. You'd be selling out arenas, and then anytime you talked about something else, you'd get 1,000 tweets saying, bro, I follow you to eat ass, not for Trump tweets. The ass eater's going political.
The ass eater. My fucking tongue is numb from all the assholes I've tongued. But yeah, dude, I used to love Dana Point. I used to love going out on the PB Bar and Grill. And dude, I was like, I brought Johnny down because I did the La Jolla Comedy Store with Jesus this weekend, and it was a lot of fun.
Jesus is so funny, too.
Dude, he's a killer,
great.
Bro.
He's great.
That guy's got a tight act.
Yeah.
He's tight. He should be headlining. I always get the guys who should be headlining. Like, I always do. Like, the improvs love put me with ethnic comedians who, like, every other club they do, they're headlining.
Or people who sell cars now.
Oh, no. Well, that guy. Kevin Johnston, whatever his name was.
Yeah. So we'll call him Kevin Johnston.
Yeah. Who fucking jacked Brett Ernst's bits and then fucking.
And then opened for you.
Well, he would run the light on me.
Oh, that's
like,
the worst.
Like, he's one of those guys who would run. I remember talking to some local comics. I'm like, yeah, you know, if you write, like, 5 good minutes a month, you know, you're doing pretty good.
Right.
And he goes, 5 new minutes a month? I write 5 new minutes a week. And he walks out, and he just goes out there going, and he just was, he ripped off fucking Brett Ernst's Kool-Aid bit.
Oh, yeah.
His pink lemonade bit. Yeah. His pink lemonade, like, black guys love whenever they hear pink lemonade, their fucking octaves go up. So it was a long story. So anyways, I got a bad review from that club. This guy, Doc, who's no longer with the Funny Bones, who's a fucking flaming bag of dog shit. You know, because that's what the Funny Bones do. They hire somebody to do food and beverage, and then some reason they also think they're the barometer of entertainment. This does not apply to fucking Mark Ellis. This applies to Sam Tripoli. Sam Tripoli is saying this. But they somehow allow the guy who probably thinks Leonard Skinner's still fucking relevant is deciding what's funny on fucking stage.
I don't see how that factors into it.
It's a good band.
Yeah.
Okay?
Go on.
But if your favorite band is Toby Keith, maybe you shouldn't be fucking judging all comedy.
Dude, that's a great. Every Funny Bone I do, there's a Toby Keith right next door. And I take a picture of it and I send it to my brother. I'm like, look, Toby Keith is a restaurant. It's packed.
Yeah.
It is packed with the young people of that community.
Dude.
They show up in force to go to Toby Keith.
Have you ever been to Dayton, Ohio? That is ghetto country, dude.
I have never been to
Dayton, Ohio. You have gang-banging farmers out there. The gang-banging farmers, dog. They, like, watch fucking, you know, Boys in the Hood, and then they fucking drive a tractor that has hydraulics on it. They're fucking shady as shit out there, dude.
That's why they got the app.
Ohio is a great country, great state. But, man, outside of Cleveland and Columbus, it can get shady as fuck.
Yeah.
I was in Cincinnati. I've never been to a more ghetto Chipotle in my life. Like, it was like straight out of The Wire Chipotle, dude. People still had beepers and shit.
I love how you're like a Zagat's guide for Chipotles across the United States.
Yeah,
like,
I love it. I fucking love it.
Yeah, they brought me down to a test run on Girls Gone Wild to host it, and it was like in Toledo.
Yeah.
So I fly there, and I've never seen more chicks for a t-shirt eat each other out on, like, pool tables. I'm like, this place is fucking insane. And then the guys, the camera guys, they hired, like, boy band members to do the cameras. They would bring them onto the truck, go in the back of this, like, tour bus and just bang these chicks or get blowjobs. And I felt so bad because I didn't go back there. But
of course girls, you did.
No, I did. Not on camera. But they didn't They were actually, the girls, like, parents were calling them on their phones while they're in the back giving blowjobs. I remember looking at a cell phone going, Dad's calling.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you know what's so funny is just, like, I did that Vince Vaughn comedy tour. And, dude, we were driving. We stopped. A girl knocks on the door. They're like, is Vince Vaughn in there? We're like, yeah. Let me in. And, dude, she left her boyfriend on the sidewalk to jump into the van. And you're like in Delaware. You're like, this is literally this girl's only hope for something relevant in her life to happen.
She's going for the legendary Sam Tripoli half-court shot. Yes, you know, sometimes it works out. Most of the time it doesn't. But if you have that opportunity,
yeah,
you can always apologize to your boyfriend afterwards. You know, you can always be like, look, I took a shot. I feel bad. Let's make three babies together. But she's going to be wondering for the rest of her life if she didn't take that shot.
Women love to be known as the chick who banged in somebody important. That was a Dave Chappelle bit. Like, they get known as the girl who fucked blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's their weird street cred. Like, Steve-O said it once. Like, women would rather fuck. Women want to fuck famous guys more than guys want to fuck women. Like, it's, like, this one loves the Diaz.
I was like, I would only feel proud if I, like, fucked Nick Diaz to come talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah, you would. How happy would you be?
Just solely for the podcast, though. More than happy for my own life, just to tell you guys about it.
You really want to fuck them. Like, it's like on your bucket list, right?
I wonder if that's maybe women are more attracted to celebrity, because what guys, I've found, what we really crave, I mean, obviously we'd love to have sex like a beautiful, hot celebrity woman, but what we more think about is people from our past that you want to, like, guys are really, you go to like a reunion and you're like, All right, who didn't I get in high school? Who can I impress now? And I don't think women really care about past loves.
Bullshit.
Or past crushes.
Well, I have a theory on that, but we'll get into that.
You got a theory on everything.
Well, I have a theory that male comics, very rarely do you see male comics become like too cool for school. Like, most of my male friends, with the exception of one or two, and I'm not getting into their names, are the same guys I knew before they blew up.
Except black comics become too cool for school.
Maybe. My theory is black comedians, when they become famous, they go fucking nuts.
Yeah, well, they're real famous. But like,
super famous.
But one level under than that, you see them with sunglasses at the club, and you're like, that's a comic? Like,
I just want to get so famous I think I'm black. Like, that's my level of fame that I want to reach. Is when they're like, dude, Ellis really thinks he's black now. Like,
Ellis,
that would be awesome.
I could see you with a Vanilla Ice haircut. Yeah. With the fucking weird stripes and the bleached hair. I could see that. But female comics, I find more than not, when they blow up, they just get weird. They don't, like, if you knew them back in the day, a lot of times they act like they didn't know you.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sure we can go through and do instances where, oh, no, not that. But I feel for the most part, they don't want to remember where they're from, and that's just my opinion, and I'm just going to say it.
So. I think you need a toga. You have all these theories. You should do your podcast with a toga.
Like, I'm just like Socrates?
Yeah.
should have like four like followers. Like, you need to have a church.
I need disciples.
Mean, yeah. I'm not saying I would attend the worship ceremonies, but you
well,
should have.
Well, that's why you're not going to make it in Hollywood.
He has a lot of followers. He has two conspiracy podcasts.
I have one. Week.
You do the rant one, too, and it counts. It's the same. I hear what you're yelling.
Well, thank you for listening.
That's like a conspiracy why you're not verified on Twitter. It's like they don't want to acknowledge that you really know what's going on.
That's true.
I'm just saying that's like a good thing to use for your cult
members. I respect that.
It's like,
true.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay.
He's going to talk about that on the next one.
I will talk about that. I want to get into some Bellator, some big signings with Bellator. I know you're working with Bellator, right?
Yeah.
Real quick, a bunch of great fights are about to start happening, both UFC and Bellator. If you're going to do that, you guys got to go to BetDSI. BetDSI for all your betting needs. Use the promo code PUNCHDRUNK. Get your $10 betting cash, and you guys can start winning, because Punch Drunk is where winners win. Now, I am not one of those winners. I've been constantly losing on these fucking parlays I'm doing, but I love it. I love doing parlays. I got so close, and Holly Holm fucked me, man. Well, the judges fucked me. I had it. I was going to win $500. I just love the parlays. BetDSI has been doing a lot of great stuff with us. They're gonna start doing live events with us and stuff like that. So go to our good friends at BetDSI.com and make those bets. Use the promo code PUNCHDRUNK. Yes,
I love parlays, dude.
I love it.
I don't bet. They're so stressful, though.
I love it.
I don't know enough about Bellator and MMA to do it.
You're not an MMA guy.
That I enjoy it when it's on, but I don't know the individual fighters like that. But a parlay,
you don't
on
know
a good
me.
NFL Sunday, like the 1 o'clock game, a 4 o'clock game, and a night game.
Parlays are
so exciting.
So frustrating though, because I'll do like a 6-fight parlay with a payout of like $7,000,
right?
And the first one loses. And your next six win, and now I'm rooting for my next six ones to lose.
Yeah,
because it's always the one that I overlooked where that I'm like, oh, why did I fucking bet that? And then it ruins the entire event.
There should be something where, like, if you get them all wrong, you should get your money back.
Really?
Right? You ever? I picked one where I was completely wrong on every one of them.
I've never done that.
You've never done that? Well, you're not chosen.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess.
Like, sir, you were so bad.
Yeah.
Clearly, this is what rest of your life decisions are like.
Yeah.
You need this money a lot more than the casino.
We'll call it the special ed discount. Here's your cash back. We don't take money from retards.
They buy you like a tetherball pole with the money.
So Bellator, man, I think Bellator sees an opportunity to pounce a small window in the UFC. Where I think the UFC's wobbly. I think they're a little wobbly. I don't think they'll ever fall down, but I think they're in flux right now where they don't know what they want to do, the old school way of business or this new Hollywood way of business, which I think is going to blow up in their face to do the Hollywood way of business. And
what's the Hollywood way of business? Just
which is
promoting superstars?
No. Well, yeah. And just paying nobody else anything. This whole notion is that there is a oversupply for the demand. And if you don't want to do it, someone else will. So their notion is, just like in Hollywood, talent doesn't matter.
So we need to build a couple stars like McGregor. And then everybody else is just going to be a chump that wants to fight him. And then whoever shows up, like if Adam Hunter rolls out of bed, we'll give you $200 to fight this guy.
Yeah.
Who's making $20 million. Now, if you beat this guy, guess what? Now you're the new golden boy, and now you get $20 million. So it's kind of like it's like that belt is worth $20
million. My theory.
Yes and no. I mean, Sam is right. You know, what happened was they sold the UFC to WME for $4.1 billion. But now, before you had Dana and the Fertittas, who were hardcore fight fans calling the shots. Now you have William Morris, who they don't really know fighting a lot of these guys. They don't know. I mean, they're just not that hard. So they're making moves where they're having top guys fight each other, but they're taking the rankings and putting them out the window. So GSP, huge superstar, he was out for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Now he comes back and he's fighting Bisping at a higher weight class,
right?
Which makes no sense. So what about the guys ranked? It's like it would be essentially if like the Lakers were like a 500 team, but they sell a lot of tickets. So we're gonna put them in the finals.
Yeah.
But you're like, but wait, but they didn't win. Well, it doesn't matter. They're gonna sell tickets, and you're really kind of playing with fire when you do things like that, because essentially you're taking it's entertainment. Yeah, but it's also a sport.
People should have an honest shot.
You're taking the sport out for the entertainment.
Right.
Like basically what they're doing, dude, is if the NFL took Michael Sam, Tim Tebow, and Johnny Manziel and put them in the playoffs. Just put them right in the playoffs because those are popular people and the media talks about them. Put it right in. But what people in Hollywood, what drives Hollywood so nuts because they don't do it at all. They shove people down your throat till you like them. Hollywood's whole theory is if we put them on television and movies, you're going to like them.
Right.
And we see that, no, it's not really happening. Mm-hmm. TV viewership's down. You could argue whether it's because kids are on this or whatever. But I also think it's Hollywood doing, living in a bubble going, oh, well, we're going to do what we want to do and you'll watch what we want to do. But it's literally like GSP is a great fighter. GSP won a billion fights in a row, only lost one fight in his whole thing. So it is a little different than that, but it is being forced in when you have this animal, Romero, who's beat everybody who's
and
been.
And Jacare, and you could put Rockhold in there, and you could even put
but
Weidman.
But Romero beat all of them. He beat, he's beaten, Jacare, he beat your boy.
He made him die.
He made Weidman. Him die, Weidman.
Yeah, you know? No, absolutely right. But GSP, you're right, is a beast and was a champion, but why not give him the title fight at 170, which is his weight class?
Yeah, like, because he might be a little too old to get down to that now.
No, he's not. I stood next to him. He could probably even say, at one point, make 55. He's not a big guy.
I know.
It's not a weight thing. They think that, honestly, he probably has a good shot of beating Bisbing, which he might, but that's still not a reason to give the guy a fight.
I think Bisbing is so underrated that this guy fights everybody tough.
Oh, no. And the thing is, like, I like Bisbing. Bisbing came to the Dime Bar a month ago.
Oh, God.
And he comes
in. Did he bomb there, too? did his other eye go the other way?
He ate a girl's asshole on stage. It was the weirdest fucking thing. So,
what if eating ass fixes your wandering eye?
Maybe. Yeah, right. But the thing about Bisbing, so the fucking champion comes to the Dime Bar to see me and Luis Gomez, okay. Right? And then at the end, he's helping me put chairs away. I'm like, this guy is the champion of the world, and we're putting chairs away together. And I'm like,
man, I like Bisbing.
I love this dude. Amazing dude. You know, the guys he fought were all on steroids.
Yeah, everybody he lost to was on steroids, with the exception of Rockhold.
And Kim Kennedy.
Fight. Yeah.
But, so, that being
Kennedy
said.
Kennedy looks like he's juicing, too. He's got that gay porn body.
So that being said, I like the fact that Bisbing's going to make a ton of money to fight maybe easier guys. You could argue at the same time, it's like you said, the UFC now, like they had, it was Uriah Faber's final fight in Sacramento, and the main card they had Paige VanZant versus the Karate Hottie, and as the main event, and under that I think they had Sage Northcutt versus.
My boy, watch it. He's our boy
Mickey,
on the show,
Mickey Gall. Right?
You think he's the greatest fighter ever
of
all time.
I love Mickey Gall, but Uriah Faber should have had that main spot.
Yeah.
I mean, over Paige VanZant, who was 1-1 in her last two fights.
No, I agree with that.
And that's WME going, oh, she's a hot chick. We could put her in movies. We could do this with her. She has a book coming out.
Yeah. My parents watched that card because of her, though. So that's why they do stuff like that.
Oh, point, people.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, your parents are not going to keep watching, though.
Right.
They will. They want to see which guy's going to knock up their daughter.
There's something to be said about getting out of that at the right time, too. Like, I mean, because Rousey had all these movies in development and stuff, and, like, nobody's going to want to go see her in that remake of Roadhouse they were going to do.
Well,
because she's lost.
Like, I think they also know that sport is going to unionize. It has to unionize more than any other sport because it's completely different than boxing. Boxing is way more an individual sport than that one is because, there's only two entities which really you could go to make any fucking money at all. And I think Bellator is waking up to that. I think Bellator is signing all these guys and just basically going, hey, man, all the sponsorship money you want. And when you're like, I'm on Spike TV, I'm on television, and a million people are watching our fights, that means a lot to some advertisers, and that's going from making $50,000 a fight plus a $5,000 Reebok deal to $50,000 a fight and possibly up to $200,000 in advertising money.
Does Bellator have that kind of money to put behind
it? Yeah, because they have Viacom. But the thing about what they're doing, which is interesting, it's fun to watch, but it's interesting. Like, they just announced Chael Sonnen's going to fight Wanderlei Silva June 24th at Madison Square Garden. They're putting it on pay-per-view. They're also putting Fedor Mitrione on those cards. Now, aside from Mitrione, three of those people are way past their prime. I mean, Chael versus Wanderlei is a great fight in 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Fedor, I mean, is not the greatest of all time, but not the Fedor. But what they're trying to do is then put a lot of up-and-coming young guys that are actually in their prime under it thinking that you tune in to watch, you know, Hoist Gracie versus Kimbo Slice, but you're going to stay because of that. It's an interesting type
of
thing.
But, dude, if you take Roy McDonald, Ryan Bader,
Lorenz Larkin,
all those guys that have UFC, and you do a pay-per-view, you may not kill it, but you can start making inroads. And I think that the UFC could be in trouble. If you only have five names and you barely have that now, Conor McGregor's not fighting that often. GSP, who else? John Jones is out. You know, I mean, like, who else is your stars?
No, but, I mean, who are those? Like some of those guys, nobody knew who they were 3 years ago. So you can make new stars. I mean, I think that's what they're banking on, is that there's such a stable that you can take any three dudes and make them new stars.
Bellator, I would make a fucking sweet deal with ESPN right now. Almost take it so you barely break even. Just to put your fights on there, to get your fighters going, because that's going to put you in all these fucking homes. And even though ESPN is shitting the bed right now, it's still the number one sports channel. It's, for how long that lasts, I don't know. But you do a deal with them, you preemptive strike the UFC, you get on, because they're showing Bellator on ESPN3, which is hilarious, because ESPN3 is all the sports drunk white guys doing bars. Foosball, darts, yeah. Arm wrestling, strongest man. Look, watch me lift this refrigerator, and you just throw it. Like, those are drunk sports. You put that Bellator on ESPN, now you have a chance to start cooking with gas.
Well, the one thing they need to do, Bellator, is, which I told them, is that they air the fights on the East Coast and then the West Coast 3 hours later, because I think Cops does better numbers, maybe, but they got to do it live, because the problem with the internet is that if I know who won the fight, if I'm on Twitter and Facebook, it's almost impossible now to even turn on your phone and not know who won a fight, because I'll go on Instagram and I'll see who won, and then you go on Facebook, you see who won.
Yeah.
You
see on Olympics, Twitter, man. I mean, who won. The Olympics gets ratings because they take painstaking efforts to make sure that the events can be live when people in the United States are awake. So they can watch. See, the NBA Finals in the 80s used to be tape delayed.
Yeah.
And it's like, that sounds so archaic. Like, we were walking around with, like, sticks and spears and stuff. Like, that is so ridiculous. I had no idea that they still had fights that were tape delayed.
That's the problem, I think.
Wait, if I gave you a blank card that was a Bellator fight versus the blank card that was a UFC fight, which one are you taking just based on entertainment, on perceived entertainment value?
It really depends, because Bellator, they do stack up their cards sometimes. Like, at the same time, like a UFC Brazil, I might not know many of these people. But
you know they're going to fight, though. That's the only thing. Yeah. That's why the UFC's in trouble, is because, like, the NFL, you watch the NFL, you go, these are the best football players. Mm-hmm. NBA, these are the best basketball players. Dude, I mean, look at World Star Hip Hop. They made their living off of fucking street fights. I can watch two crackheads swing on each other and be like, that was a great fight. the reality is, when you think a card is the best, when you're like, fuck, man, that's a good fucking card, man. That's a good card. You get, you got number 10 versus number 7. Sometimes those guys fight not to lose because they don't want to drop out. You get two dudes who are like, this guy's from Yugoslavia. This guy's from Mexico. Nobody knows who the fuck they are. They got nothing to lose.
Their kids have been kidnapped.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. That's what. That's true. That's usually it is. That's the case. I would say right now UFC has the better guys. But like you said, you know, Rory McDonald, who has a win over Tyron Woodley, a definitive win now, is in Bellator. Lorenz Larkin, who just destroyed Neil Magny, is now in Bellator. They got a couple of these young guys that are really good.
Ryan Bader's a good get.
Bader's
dude.
Good. They're going to have Bader, the Phil Davis rematch. There's a lot of good guys. You know, out there, like, you know, the problem also is, like, you got a guy like Ben Askren, who was an Olympic wrestler, two-time national champion, but he pissed off Dana White. He called him a fat, bald guy or something. And now
he also has a boring style of fighting. And the truth is, people, I mean, at the end, what makes me laugh is everyone, all the MMA people are like, boxing's dying. I'm like, the most exciting MMA fights are dirty boxing fights where people are just throwing heat at each other. And Bellator sees it. I think boxing sees it. UFC is kind of wobbly right now. And that's why these fights have been fucking amazing lately. Have you seen any of these? I mean, the Chocolate fight?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Dude, oh, you mean the, you're talking about boxing?
Yeah, those two fucking dudes beat the shit out of me.
I thought he won that. I think he got robbed.
I think he won too, dude. He won too. We do a lot of fight recaps on our Patreon. Do you guys do Patreons at all?
No.
So we're doing Patreon. Like, there'll be a big Patreon weekend. The fight nanny never makes it. For some reason, she can't make
You've
it
You've asked me twice.
Okay. You know what I'm saying. So we're doing this Patreon because we're about to announce our – we're about to release or what's the what would you say? We're about to put out our – premiere our – new website at punchdrunksports.com.
Launch, premiere.
Our good friend Adam Hunter's MMA Roasted's on the channel. We're going to show you the website when it's done. It's when we're done with the podcast. It's amazing. Now, I know everybody is asking, every podcast is asking you to donate to Patreon. Everybody's doing it. We're not asking you to donate forever. We're literally asking for $5 for the next 6 months. $5 a month for the next 6 months, you get 4 secret episodes on the Patreon. Last week, we had Red Band and Todd Shapiro. Todd Shapiro was so drunk, he didn't remember doing it, and he just talked the whole time about getting pegged in his ass by his wife. He goes, I never said
that
this before.
That sounds entertaining.
It is an entertaining fucking episode.
Take my money.
You know? So, guys, we're not asking you guys to do it the whole fucking week. We're not asking you to do it forever. We're asking 6 months of $5 so we can do this big plan we have with Patreon. When you guys see the website, you'll see where it's all going. Every week, a new content, new hour, me, Teebs. She'll never be there.
Invite me. You invited me twice in the last 6 months.
I always invite you. I always
twice.
Do. And Johnny uploads it. So, do you guys do Patreons at all?
No. I haven't done it yet, no.
Yeah, every podcast is doing it now, begging for money. We have a plan that's going to go very big, and it will help you, too, and it will help everybody.
I'm in. You got my $5.
Do you watch boxing at all?
I watch you guys talk about boxing.
Dude, they were great fights.
I'd still rather watch boxing than UFC just because I grew up knowing more about boxing.
Well, within comedy, they
MMA,
call it what?
But...
Keep it simple, stupid.
Right.
People love the stuff they relate to.
Right.
Boxing is way more relatable than two dudes doing jiu-jitsu or roundhouse kicking guys. Yeah, you like to watch a roundhouse kick the head and knock a dude out, but you like street fights, two dudes are squaring up, throwing fucking fists at each other. That is what people relate to, and that's why boxing, I think, will always have a market and will always be big in the number. And, dude, this Mayweather-McGregor fight?
So stupid.
It's happening.
It's going to be so bad. I mean, I'm going to watch it, but
of
I've been talking to guys that have been training in the same gym as McGregor, and they said like club fighters are giving him a hard time. Like,
really?
Like, how is he going to do against Mayweather?
Everybody wants to say, oh no, this thing's about to happen. It's about to be a done deal. I'm not sure it's going to be a done deal. I think it's a lot of fun to talk about. Gets a lot of sports shows ratings, but I'm not sure it's that close to being a done.
No, I heard it is. My friend has the same manager as McGregor, and he said it's going to happen. The thing is that, you know, it's a good thing for Conor because he's going to get probably $50 million.
No, dude, that guy's making minimum of $100 million off
$100 million, right? At UFC, he would have to do 30 fights to make that and fight guys that are monsters. So now he can do it in boxing. If he loses, it's like, okay, I lost to the best boxer in the world. Supposed to lose.
Right.
If he does happen to win... Let's just say he lands that punch. He now beat the greatest, arguably, boxer of all time. It's really Mayweather has more to lose than him.
Let me just say
this. But he's not
going
to lose.
It is actually Mayweather's best interest to lose this fight.
Oh, come on.
It's in his best interest.
Why? You get a rematch?
A rematch will be worth twice as much money.
Come on.
He won't do it. He won't do it, but it is actually...
He doesn't need the money. It's legacy.
Dude, that guy spends money like toilet paper I use on my ass. He just burns through it. Burns through it.
You use a lot of toilet paper?
Yeah.
You're not like a one sheet guy.
No, dude. If there's any tip left...
You gotta
use
baby wipes. Baby wipes.
Yeah. You know you've hung out with porn stars a lot when you're using baby wipes. That's how you have porn star friends when you're using baby
Feels
wipes.
Feels good, man. When I run out of toilet paper, all we have is baby wipes. I'm like, I should be treating myself more often.
Have a baby?
Amazing. No.
Oh.
Just have baby wipes.
Oh, right.
I don't think I have a baby. Right. Wait a minute.
I was talking about how Logan is like my story of my life. like an angry, furry guy with fucking drug and alcohol problems. Most likely will Uber at some point. Has a kid out of nowhere they didn't even know he had show up with behavioral issues and will probably die in a shallow grave.
I think if you sat down and you really tried hard, maybe you got to be in the middle of the woods to do it. I think you would have little tiny metal come out of your face. I think if you really tried it. Yeah. Like that guy's trying to beat you up for eating his girl's ass, and then all of a sudden it's like, don't get, you're like Teen Wolf, like you just turn into a werewolf. If comics saw a headline that's like USA Today, front page, comic turns into werewolf, says like a picture of you as a werewolf, Adam Hunter and I would read that, we'd be like, I mean, I'm not shocked.
No, not at all. Yeah. I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner, actually. have you watched Iron Fist at all?
I did.
What do you think?
I'm waiting for it to hit its pace. It can't decide whether, in my opinion, it wants to be Wall Street or fucking Return of the fucking Kung Fu Master or whatever it is. In my opinion, there's not enough fighting.
I don't like him as much as I did Daredevil or Luke Cage.
I love Daredevil and Luke Cage. I haven't picked up Iron Fist yet. I haven't tried. I heard it gets better in the second half that it picks up, but I haven't.
It doesn't know its pace right now. Like, you have characters one second, they have feelings the next second, they're all over the fucking place. It's like, pick a lane, man.
The Asian girl's pretty hot.
No, she's like the third hottest person on that. The sister's way hot.
But the sister and brother seem like they're kind of incestual.
I'd watch them fuck.
No, yeah, Cruel Intentions kind of thing.
Yeah. Right. Well, we're against watching hot brothers and sisters fuck?
Yeah, most people are.
Really? You would stop. You would not.
I wouldn't.
You would be like, okay, how about, I don't know, am I the only one who has two sisters?
Do you have a sister?
No.
See, I have a brother, and that really grosses me out. Maybe that's the problem.
So to save the planet, you wouldn't bone your brother.
That's fucked up.
No.
To save the planet.
That's
it wouldn't save
fucking,
the planet. It would
that's
be retarded.
Racist. That's anti-Semitism. That's fucking anti-women. That's anti-minorities. That's anti-environment.
I think it's
a bold decision to have like 7 billion people just staring you right in the face. And you're like, not gonna happen.
That's
sorry.
So gross.
Yeah, I'm sorry you guys came out.
What if
you
wore a condom? What if you wore a condom?
Well, then we couldn't procreate.
What if he sat behind a fucking sheet? He doesn't have to get you pregnant. What
you
a weirdo you are.
You just said that's what
no,
the whole
save
point
the
of
planet.
Civilization
these
is.
These aliens are like, hey, you guys.
It's not for me to recreate
fuck.
With
no,
my
no,
mother.
No, 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 no. Just not, you don't have to get birth, just to fuck them.
That's even worse.
Just the
there's actually no purpose.
Well, it sounds like you're a horrible human being.
But you're right, though. Like when Dexter.
Weird.
When I knew that Dexter was his sister was his real girlfriend in like real life.
Yeah. But do you remember on the show she liked him anyway? She, like, had feelings for her brother she needed to talk about.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah. That became weird.
That was really weird.
I love that one of the kids on Brady Bunch was banging Florence Henderson.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it was
great. One of the kids on Brady Bunch was, I think the oldest one was having sex with Florence Henderson while they were taping the show.
Yeah.
That, when you watch the show and, like, all the squares, they're looking down at each other, watch when they lock eyes. It's so funny.
Yeah.
They wanted to save the human race.
Yeah. God, you really are selfish sometimes.
Do you guys have sisters?
Yeah, I do.
I have an older sister, yeah.
So could you do that?
I mean, to save the
world? To save the planet!
Guys are so crazy.
To save the planet!
Yeah.
See, Aaron
is so full
Aaron
of
gets
shit.
It.
It's the planet, dude. It's the planet.
I mean, you think about all the pussy you'd get from saving the planet afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, like.
You don't have to enjoy it. Nobody says you have to get off. You just gotta do it enough to let the aliens have a laugh.
I would be offended if my brother got a boner from me. I can't think of something grosser.
What if you have to help him get a boner to make it happen?
I don't like any of this.
Yeah, I mean, you have to participate.
Yeah. You're selfish.
Oh, my God.
Anybody with me on that one?
No.
Okay. All right. You guys really dropped the ball on that.
You're putting these ideas out there in the world. I mean, this is not just an Earth podcast. This goes out into the world, Sam. There's aliens that could be picking this up in 20 years, and they're going to be like, you know what, that Tripoli guy? We've always enjoyed his show.
Yeah.
We gave him $5 for 6 months. And now we're going to go to Earth, and we're going to do this thing.
You ever go to Roswell, New Mexico?
I've driven through that. I've had alien jerky, but I've never actually
that got
the
weird.
Crash site.
It's where the aliens landed, and you walk around that town, and everyone just looks fucking strange. Like, maybe the aliens really did come here.
I think that they're all I think everybody in that town is plants.
A lot of people think aliens are the missing link between monkeys to humans.
You know what it really was, in my opinion? I think that it was
Aaron knows
it was,
about
it
that.
It was nuclear testing on human beings. and they put them in shells, and they wrote it off as aliens because they were testing nukes to see what would happen to a human being if Russia did have bombs. I think Russia was probably doing the same thing. So, like, the humanoid creatures they reported seeing were probably just really deformed.
You're saying New Mexico is full of just fucking nuked human beings? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Wow, dude. I thought this was a sports podcast, but now it's tinfoil hats.
I was going to say, do you want to go on Sam's podcast?
Tinfoil hats.
I don't know. I just can't, like, I have conspiracy theories, and I believe in a lot of them, but I can't keep up with the real conspiracy theorists, because after 5 minutes, I just want to unplug from the Matrix. Or, you know, I want to be
You want
like,
to unplug from unplugging.
You
want to replug.
I want to take the other pill.
Yeah.
You know?
I get that.
It's like, you really know who got JFK? It was George Bush Sr. was behind everything. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I got to go watch sports.
I get it. I would much rather just be plugged in.
Yeah, I enjoy being plugged in.
But when you realize you can't do anything about it and you just see it happening in real time, it's unbelievable. Like, my girlfriend watches CNN the way I watch porn, where, like, if I come home, she's trying to find the remote to change the channel because she doesn't want me to know she's watching CNN. And you're like, I'm like, are you watching it again? Are you watching it again? Do we have to go to therapy for this fucking shit? When are you going to stop? It's hurting us. It's hurting us. You know, same thing with porn. I go, I'm not watching guys bang white chicks. Sorry, go. Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off.
Why don't you host the AVNs? I think you'd be so good
at that. I did the sex awards, and the people put together such a fucking horrible, horrible production. It was supposed to be 2.5 hours of 70 minutes. I was 5 minutes of that 70 minutes. And they were just, you know, it was ran. First of all, they have no warm-up guy on those things. Everybody's blown out on coke. Everybody's doing coke at the AVNs. Yeah, everyone's on their phone. It's like, why are you fucking texting people? You're where everybody wants to be. Yeah. Stop texting. You're winning awards, and they literally don't pay attention until they hear a name they recognize. They're like, hey, and they go back. It's like the worst thing. Then you meet girls who are like, dude, Doug Stanhope has the best joke. He goes, the AVNs are the only award show where you can get Newcomer of the Year and a Lifetime Achievement Award in the same fucking thing.
I hosted the Stripper Awards, the Exotic Dancing Awards, and they were like, don't make fun of the strippers because Pauly Shore did, and they like attacked them or something the year before.
I love strippers. Why would I make fun of them? My favorite thing is like the only people who don't give a shit about Yelp scores and reviews are black strippers. Black strippers don't give a fuck. They'll be like, you want to dance? No. Why are you here then? Why are you here? Meet me outside. They want to fight you outside. They don't give a shit.
How often do you go to black strip clubs?
Dude, I love black strippers. My Instagram feed is just all black ass.
Yeah, I like it when you like, you'll post it and you'll be like, yeah, I don't think she cares about the war right now and Chechnya. Like, it's pretty funny.
You love that. El Magical just laid into me one day. I came in. He's like, I'm at a fucking event with children and parents. And I go on my Instagram feed and this black ass is just twerking. How am I supposed to explain that? I'm like, hey, dude, just tell him you got political. You know what I'm saying? Well, guys, I know you guys are going to get angry. We had to do a short show. So Tebow is on Booked a Pilot. Yay!
Hollywood!
Tebow's off the suicide list, and I have a meeting I could not get out of. So I know you guys want it. You guys want the podcast. So I'm so thankful that you guys did it. You guys are both great. I'd love to have you guys on again sometime when Tebow's here. Rotate you in and get you guys whatever you guys are promoting. Anything last you want to push real quick?
Just the MMA Roasted Podcast.
You're doing great with that, dude. You just keep going. It's fucking great, Adam. I'm really happy for you.
See Adam Hunter live. He's one of the best in the business.
He is great.
You can subscribe to my YouTube channel.
He's got Schmoes, a dress jacket on right now. Go on.
It's something that like it is. It's a step above a hoodie.
That's a jacket somebody whose dad is Will Smith would be wearing. That's all I got to say about that. Okay, Johnny. What?
Did you see?
Yes. We opened up with it about 20 minutes in. Anything you want to push, Danny?
I'm going to be on Patreon soon.
You're going to be on Patreon
I'm gonna be
soon?
On your episode soon.
You act like it's like Friendster or some shit like that. guys, great podcast. Thank you guys for being in. We'd love to have you guys back on talking sports. And the website should be out in how many weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Again, 3 weeks from 3 weeks ago. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Punch Drunk Sports, where winners win.